Well, I certainly desire your prayers this morning. I appreciate very much the privilege that I have to be here with you this morning. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there was a time where the enemy tried to convince me that I would never even leave my room, leave alone be able to stand before you this morning. But dear ones, I want you to know the Lord has been very merciful to me. Sometimes I feel inadequate to know how to express the deep love and appreciation that I have in my heart for God and for His people. But I want you to know this morning, dear ones, that I love the Lord with all my heart. And I love His people. You're precious to me. I appreciate the Lord and His love. Dear ones, we serve a mighty God. One that is not only have all power in heaven and earth, but dear ones, one that is full of love and mercy and compassion. He is a wonderful Heavenly Father. And dear ones, you and I have been given a high honor and a great privilege to know Him and to be able to trust Him. I'm convinced this morning more than ever in my life that the Lord's desire is to bring each one of us into a close, personal relationship with Him, where He can take and heal every heartache, fill every void, and break every chain that the enemy would try to use to hinder you and I in our walk with the Lord. Dear ones, the Lord loves us. And my burden and my desire this morning is somehow that God would impress upon each of our hearts and minds just how much that God loves us and what He wants to do for us this morning. Dear ones, the enemy is doing everything that he can to hinder you and I from making heaven. He's just knocked out all the stops. And there is no limit to what he will do to keep you and I out of heaven. Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, he said, "The thief cometh not. He cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil never comes your way, never comes my way, but for the ultimate purpose to bring about our destruction and downfall. He never once brings anything in your life that is meant for your good. Never once. There is not a thing that the enemy can bring. It doesn't matter how glamorous. It doesn't matter how successful. It doesn't matter how good it may look. Dear ones, his ultimate purpose is to bring about our destruction and downfall. There's not a thing that he brings in our life, but what his ultimate end is to bring our destruction. But I want you to know, Jesus didn't stop there. He said, "But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Dear ones, the message that the Lord has for you and I this morning is that there's healing in Jesus. I want you to know this morning, dear ones, that you and I do not have to be defeated. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be cast down or destroyed. Because Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." It doesn't matter how hard the enemy tries to make the way of the Lord seem. It doesn't matter the stumbling blocks or the things that he tries to put in our path. Dear ones, Christ came, and his purpose is that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that's what I believe the Lord wants you and I to get a hold of. Satan is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Dear ones, he's been at it for a long time. Since long before any of us in here were born. And I want you to know something. He has laid the foundation and he has set everything in order to bring about your destruction and downfall. And dear ones, the only thing that will prevent him from accomplishing his purpose is if you and I avail ourselves of the grace and mercy of God. I'll say it again because it's important, dear ones, for you and I to get a hold of this. He has laid the foundation. He has set everything in order to bring about your destruction and downfall. And the only thing that will prevent Him from accomplishing His purpose is if you and I avail ourselves of the grace and the mercy of God. Dear ones, there's not a one of us in here this morning that is strong enough to overcome the temptations and all the things, the hard places, the obstacles that the enemy puts in our path on our own. Without the grace of God, we don't stand a chance against Him. There's not a one of us in here, dear ones. It doesn't matter how smart we are. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have of the Scriptures. There's not a one of us in here that can outwit the enemy on our own. But for the grace of God, He will accomplish His purpose to bring about our destruction and downfall. I'd like to look at a Scripture, if you'll turn with me here to Luke, the 4th chapter. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I will tell you, dear ones, I'll just have to tell you this morning, the Lord started talking to me about this last year before I came to this meeting, assembly meeting last year. And the Lord, for some reason, just put it on hold. I didn't understand it at the time. I thought, well, maybe the Lord had it for someplace else. And different times through the year, I thought about it, and every time the Lord just put a hold on it. And to the point that I put it off the shelf in the back of my mind, so to speak. And I was like, Lord, I don't know. You gave me this, and I just leave it. You know the timing. You know what you have in mind. I don't understand sometimes why the Lord does what He does. But I'm going to tell you, before the meeting started, Brother Bob came by. He doesn't know this. But he came by and he preached a message on this very passage of Scripture. And the Lord began to start stirring some things in my heart. But I still thought, well, the Lord's put that on hold. I'm just going to leave it alone. I don't know what He wants. Well, I came the first weekend and I went home. Wednesday night, somebody got up and they read that same Scripture. The Lord began to twist a little more. I began to say, Lord, what is it? And I went home and Friday morning as I was praying, the Lord began to give me some Scriptures and He began to let me know. I want this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's burning in my heart this morning, and I trust the Lord will help us to be able to bring it out like He would have us to. Luke, the 4th chapter in the 14th verse. Again, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's got a message that many in our world needs to hear today. And I would that somehow that God could convey it to every soul in this world. He says here, starting in the 14th verse of this 4th chapter of Luke, He said, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" When I look at this, I want you to notice here just for a little bit, this 14th verse. And I want to draw your attention to what it says. Notice how it says that He returned in the power of the Spirit. And it said, "And there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region." Now, dear ones, these people recognized that the Spirit and power of God was upon Christ. They didn't understand altogether what was going on. But they recognized that God was working mightily in His life. And it says the fame of Him went throughout all the region. Now, they didn't have the Facebooks and the Twitter and the Internet and all these other things that we have in our society today that just spreads things rapidly across the country. But I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced, dear ones, there was a lot of Twittering going on every corner and every place I think it's good for us sometimes to stop and think about it. Think of what it was like there. I can just imagine those people saying, "Have you heard? Have you heard about this Jesus?" "Yes, I did. He healed the lame man. They had never walked before, and he's up leaping and walking as if he'd always walked all of his life. Isn't that something?" "Yeah, did you hear it, that he healed the blind man? He couldn't see anything, and the Lord just touched his eyes, and now he can see just like you and I. That's amazing." I can imagine, dear ones, the people as these things were happening, and they were just like, "Did you hear that? What a wonderful thing. Oh, but did you hear? He can do even more than that. Did you hear about Lazarus?" "No. Who's this Lazarus?" "He raised him from the dead." "No. Nobody can do that. Now, they might do some of these other things, but nobody can raise somebody from the dead. Are you sure?" "I saw him." "You saw him raise him?" "Yes." "Are you sure he was dead?" Isn't that how people... "Are you sure he was really dead?" "Yes, he was dead. He was cold to the touch." Besides, the way they wrapped him when that cloth like a mummy and put him in that grave for 3 days, it'd been enough to kill anybody. "I know he was dead. And he was stinking. How did he heal him?" "He just called his name and he came forth." Can you imagine, dear ones, how that would just spread throughout the whole region? And people were talking about it. It said the fame of him went throughout the whole region. Oh, dear ones, I can just imagine these people. "I've got to see this man. There's something about this I've got to see." Well, it says here in this 18th verse, Jesus, he came there. And it says here, the Spirit of the Lord. He picked up the book of Isaiah and he read it and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then it said he closed the book, and it said, as he closed the book, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Dear ones, I hope we can get the impact of what he said. The message that Jesus conveyed to them at that point was the most wonderful news that they or that you and I could ever hope to hear. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It wasn't something that was way out there somewhere else. It was not something that they had to look forward to or something that he was telling them that was about to happen. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Do you know, it reminds me of Zacchaeus. When Jesus went there in Luke, I believe it's the 19th chapter, and Jesus was there and he went home with Zacchaeus. Do you remember what he told him? He said, "This day is salvation come to this house." This day. It wasn't something out there 1,000 years or out in another rain somewhere. He said, "This day is salvation come to this house." Dear ones, what he came to bring was deliverance from sin. And it wasn't something that happened way off in the future. He said, "This day is salvation come to this house." And dear ones, I want you to know, in January of 2012, that salvation is still available to you and I today. It's just as available and it's just as powerful for you and I today as it was when Jesus spoke these words. I want to look at a scripture over here. Another scripture. I want to hold this in Luke, but I want to turn over here to 2 Corinthians. And I want to notice what the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the first verse. 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. The Apostle Paul said here, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." The Apostle Paul was begging them. He was pleading with them. He was beseeching them that they would not receive the grace of God in vain. Dear ones, I believe I can say on behalf of every minister and every gospel worker that's been working in this meeting, we beseech you. We beg of you. We plead with you that you not receive the grace of God in vain. Amen. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because but for the grace and the mercy of God, dear ones, the enemy will accomplish his purpose to bring about your destruction and downfall. But I want you to know something, dear ones. The grace of God that is available to you and I this morning, right here today, is not only available to us, but it's sufficient for you and I to be able to overcome everything that the enemy can throw at us. And it's also sufficient, dear ones, for you and I to enable us to do whatever or go through whatever God would ask us to do. Dear ones, there is nothing that God will ever require or ask of you and I but what the grace and the mercy of God will be sufficient to keep us. And dear ones, just as that is true, there is nothing. And I want to emphasize it. There is nothing that Satan can throw in your path but what the grace of God is able to help you and I to overcome it. But I want to tell you, as available as it is, if you and I do not avail ourselves of this grace and this mercy, it will be of no value to us whatsoever. And dear ones, the enemy of our souls is well aware of that. He knows that if he can keep you and I from availing ourselves of something that God has for us, then it's as if it's of no value whatsoever. It's like I could stand up here if I had the money. I could stand up here and tell you that I've got $1,000 for every person that will walk up here if you just ask for it. Now don't get in line because I don't. But I want you to know, dear ones, that in a setting of this size, that if I were to do something like that, there would be people that would sit right there and would refuse, allow the enemy to keep them from availing themselves of the very thing that was offered to them. Some because of unbelief. Some because of pride, and some simply because the enemy had just talked them right out of it. Do you know, a person would sit right there, and it's happened over and over, and they'll listen to that, and they'll say, I'm not going up there. There's nobody gives anybody money like that. There's got to be a catch to it. He's going to make a fool of me. I am not going to go up there. And they'll sit right there and they'll watch one after another go up there. And they'll say, he's not going to give it to them. And when I give it to them, they'll look and they'll say, well, they'll see them. They'll turn around and they'll walk back and they'll see that smile on their face and those people that's got that money. And they'll say, well, it looks real. They look happy, but it's got to be counterfeit. There's nobody going to do that. And they'll sit there and watch that. There'll be other people that'll sit there and say, I'm not going up there. What? Look at what would all these people think? For me to walk up there and put my hand out like a beggar, I'm not going to do that. What do all these people think? They know. They know I don't need that. They all think I've got everything I need. And I go up there and they're going to start thinking, well, he must be having financial problems. I never thought he'd have stooped to something like to be a beggar. And you know, they let their pride cause them to sit right in their seat and refuse to avail themselves of the things that are offered to them. And then there'll be others that they'll come up there gladly and they'll stick their hand out and they'll take that money and they'll walk back to their seat with a smile on their face and just anticipate, oh, I know what I can do with this. Now I can do what I couldn't have done before. And they'll sit down in their seat. And you know what'll happen? There'll be somebody sitting right beside them and they'll ask him, what are you doing? I wouldn't got some of that money. And just a smile on their face. What did you get that for? You know that wasn't for you. Yes, it was. He said, whoever comes up there, he said he'd give it to him. Yeah, but that wasn't for you. You know good and well you don't deserve that. You've been out there partying. You've been doing this and you've wasted all. That wasn't for you. That's for those people over there that have never done any of that thing, those things and don't have anything. The poor people. What are you doing going up there and getting that? And you know what? They'll sit right there and the enemy will say, give me that. You don't deserve that. And here, they had just went up there and they'd availed themselves of it. And they went back there and the enemy just stole it right from them. Took it right away. And they'll go home disappointed. Do you know, dear ones, the devil is just like that? He is cruel, dear ones. He'll take from you the very things that God has offered to you and I. He will come in and he will try to convince you, it's not time now. It's not. The Lord's not going to hear your prayer. You know the life that you've lived. You know what you've done. God's not going to hear you. I want to tell you, dear ones, that's the enemy of your soul. And he is out to swindle you and to take from you everything that God has in store for you. He'll be right there to tell you, you don't need this. You know you're living a good moral life. Everything's going well. You don't need this. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you better remember, he's got everything set in order to bring about your destruction and downfall. It reminds me of a story. I probably shouldn't tell his name. It's a good brother. I've got great confidence in him. I love him dearly. I don't think he'd mind if I told you who it was. Some of you probably already know, and you can keep that to yourself. But he told me a story one time that was a perfect illustration of how the enemy is so bold. He told me he had moved from one state to another. And when he was moving, he bought a flatbed trailer to haul all of his stuff on. And he took that trailer, and he hauled that stuff there, and he moved in. He parked that trailer out beside his house. He didn't have much use for it. He used it and all, but he was planning to use it later, and it sat there. He said after a while, and I don't remember how long it had been, he said he was outside one day, and he said this man pulls up into his driveway, gets out of his pickup or vehicle, whatever it was, and he told him, he said, I've been noticing your trailer. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about trading you out of it or buying it. He said, no. He said, I'm not interested in selling it. He said, I just bought it and I plan to keep it. He said, well, no. He said, I really think you need to sell it to me. He said, I need that trailer. And he said, I think you ought to sell it to me. And he said, no, I don't want to part with it. I want to keep it. He said, now, I drive by here every day to work. And that trailer has sat in that spot every day that I've come by. You don't ever use it. You don't need that trailer. I need it. You need to sell it to me. Nah, he said, I don't want to sell it. He said, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He said he wouldn't leave. And he just kept it up. And he kept it up. And he told him, he said, you don't use that trailer. You need to sell it to me. He said, no, I use it. I've got a tank that I haul on that once in a while. He said, well, you don't need that big of a trailer for that size of a tank. I've got just the trailer you need. I've got a little trailer at home, and that'll haul that tank, and that's all you need. You never use that trailer. He said, I'm going to trade you. No, I don't want to trade it. He said, brother, what do you do in a situation like that? He said, we just moved there. We were trying to build up the work in this area, and we just moved. I didn't know these people. I'd never seen him. And he said, he wouldn't take no. He just kept it up, and he said, I didn't want to offend him, and just, here I am, we're trying to come there and do the work of the Lord, and I didn't want to offend the neighbors right off. And he said, finally, he said, I didn't know what else to do. And he said, finally, I just told him, I said, all right, I'll trade you. The man went home, he got his little trailer, and he brought it up there, and he traded him with that big trailer. There was no comparison in the value of those two trailers. And that man took that big trailer home with him, and there he was left with that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, every time that you and I do dealings with the devil, he'll take advantage of you. He is bold as a lion, and he will come in and he will not take no for an answer. He'll work and he'll work until he'll take the very thing that God has intended for you. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this, brother. He's not an easy pushover. I know why he did what he did. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this. I teased him about it. Later, he bought a brand new truck. I had an old one. And I went to him one day and I said, brother, you don't need that truck. I do. I'm going to trade you. It didn't work for me. I'm going to tell you, I know why he did it. He did it because of the work of God. That's the only reason that he did it, dear ones. It wasn't that the enemy was just able to overcome him. He did it because of the work of God. And I am convinced today that God will more than doubly repay him the difference in what he did in that trade because of the purpose that he did. But I'm going to tell you, it don't work that way when you're working with the enemy. The devil will take advantage of you and I every time. that you and I take and deal with the enemy of our soul. He'll try to convince you and I that it's not for us. But I want you to know, dear ones, Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Apostle Paul went on, he said, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I don't know, dear ones, what the enemy may have tried to convince you. He perhaps has convinced some. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord has. It's not way off out there 1,000 years from now. It's not off somewhere else. I wonder how many people from last year at this same time that the Lord sent message after message after message through the meeting, and they said, you know, I'm going to change next year. And now we've gone a full year, and the enemy has talked them out of it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil will do everything within his power to hinder our faith, to keep you and I from being able to receive the things that God has for us. I'm going to turn back over here now to Luke. Turn over here in Luke, the fourth chapter. It says here in this 22nd verse, and all bear him witness, excuse me, and wondered at his gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. They all saw him. They all recognized that there was something different about what Christ was doing. They all recognized that the power and the presence of God was upon his life. And it says, they all wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Never a man spake like this man. Why? Because, dear ones, this was the Son of God. The presence and the power of God was upon his life. And he had come to deliver a message that no one else had ever been able to deliver up until this time. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said he had come to preach the gospel to the poor. He had come to heal the brokenhearted. He had come to bring deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that were bruised, to declare to them that this was the accepted time. And they heard all these things. They marveled at his words. And I want you to notice what they said. They said, is not this Joseph's son? Dear ones, can we see what the enemy is doing? Can we see what the enemy was doing there and what he is doing with souls today? Here, this was Christ. The presence and the power of God was upon his life. He was coming to give them the very things that they needed, and perhaps that many of them had longed for. But dear ones, the enemy of their soul hindered their faith from accepting the very things that they needed by getting them focused off on something else other than the message that Christ was coming to bring. And dear ones, I want you to get a hold of this morning, because don't you know that if Satan was able to take and hinder the gospel message that was being delivered by Christ Himself, the Son of God, who is perfect in every way, and who that we know without a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit and the anointing of God was upon His ministry. Dear ones, do you not understand, and don't you know that the devil will do everything within his power, and he will find things to hinder you and I from getting the message that God has for us, that goes forth over these pulpits through these vessels of clay that have been ministering. I want you to understand me. I'm not making allowance for any sin in the life of any of us. There's no place for that, dear ones. But dear ones, we're human. We have personalities. We make mistakes and blunders along the way. There's differences in personalities. And don't you know, dear ones, that the devil is going to be right there to amplify those things and to keep you and I from getting the message that God has for us? My burden and my desire this morning, dear ones, is that we get a hold of the message that Christ came to bring. And dear ones, to do that, we're going to have to get our eyes off of man. We're going to have to get our eyes off of man, and we're going to have to look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Dear ones, He is the one that came to bring about this plan of salvation. He is the one that made it possible. Jesus came to set the captives free. Dear ones, He will not only set us free, but He will set us free indeed. He didn't just come to set us free, but He came to supply every need that you and I will ever need in life. When Jesus came, He said, "This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears." He said He came to preach the gospel to the poor. The message of salvation and deliverance from sin. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sin is a curse. It is something that's like a cancer. It's like malaria. It's like things that attack the body. And it'll sit there and it'll devour and destroy them. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Michael's not here. Sister Lenita is. They can tell you what those things do to the body. But I can tell you also, they can tell you what the Lord can do. Dear ones, Jesus came and He can not only heal the body, but He can heal the sin-sick soul. Where sin has gone in and ravished lives and robbed us and stolen from us. Dear ones, Jesus came to bring about healing that will heal those that are sin sick. He came to heal and preach the gospel to the poor, to those that are poor in spirit, that recognize their need, and that like Zacchaeus are willing to do whatever it takes to avail themselves of the things that God has for them. Can you imagine Zacchaeus? Here he was, a prominent man, a tax collector. And he was out there and he climbed up in this tree so he could see Jesus. Can you imagine? What's he doing up there? Look at him. See, that tells you what he's like. What, somebody would do something. What's he doing up there? Do you know, dear one, Zacchaeus saw something. He saw something that the Lord had for him, and he was willing to do it regardless of what people thought. Publican, sinner, cheater, thief, working for the enemy, taking our tax money and giving it to the Romans. Why, who are you? I'm going to tell you something, dear ones, and I want you to get a hold of this morning. It doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how far you've gone or what you've gotten yourself into. What matters this morning, dear ones, is that you get a hold of the message that Christ came to bring you. And that is, this day is salvation come to this house. Dear ones, if you get a hold of that, it's not going to matter where you were or what you have done. Christ is going to make you a new creature anyway. And it doesn't matter all those other things. When the enemy begins to come and point out to you and tell you, "Oh, look at your life," and you can say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am today. It doesn't matter. I'm a new creature now in Christ Jesus." He said, "I came." He said He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He said He came to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted this morning? Has someone hurt you deeply? Betrayed you? Has someone taken and wounded you very, very deeply? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we're living in a world where there's a lot of broken hearts today. When you look around and you see the broken homes and all the broken hearts and all the things that are happening, it's heart-wrenching. When you read the statistics of all the things that are happening in our world today, in our nation, in America, it's heart-wrenching. I wrote down some things that I read a while back. It said that 50% of married women, 60% of married men are unfaithful in their marriage relationship. You think there's not some broken hearts, dear ones? But I'm going to tell you, it gets worse. The devil is cruel. He doesn't just go out there and take those that are unfaithful and they're married to somebody else that's unfaithful. No, They said, because that 50% of women is not married to the 60% of men that are unfaithful, by the time you take this one with one and this one over there, 80% of marriages in our nation today are affected by unfaithfulness. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's a staggering thing. And that tells me, and I know you know, it touches all of our lives. There's not a one of us probably in here that there's not someone that's touched. Why? It's because of sin, dear ones. He is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It went on and it said that the divorce rate in America is 41 to 50% of the first marriage. But it gets worse. It's 60 to 67% of the second marriage. And the divorce rate for the third marriage is 73 to 74%. When the enemy tries to paint that picture that it's greener on the other side, I'm going to tell you, you better not listen to him. Remember, dear ones, his goal is to bring about your destruction and downfall. He may make it seem so wonderful, and he may make it even seem like it is doing well for a while. But I'm going to tell you, the end thereof are the ways of death. It's destruction. Our world is hurting today, dear ones. There are a lot of broken hearts in our world today, but I want you to know that there's healing in Jesus. There's a song, I took it and copied it, it's in our blue book. It says, there are some disappointments, there are times when we weep, when those we love dearly have wounded us deep. But there's healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain, and the heart that's been wounded can be made whole again. It says, there are homes that are broken, there are hearts that are sore, there are ties that are severed, to unite nevermore. But there's healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain. And the heart that's been broken can be made whole again. I want to ask you again. Have you got a broken heart this morning? I want you to know, dear ones, if your heart is broken, Jesus said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. He can do more, dear ones, than healing these little hearts. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I stand here before you as a witness of the power of God that He can heal these little hearts. But dear ones, He wants to do more than just do this physical thing. He wants to come in and He wants to heal those wounded hearts. Those broken hearts where the enemy has taken and brought such pain and such misery. Those places where it looks like impossible. And the devil will tell you, just like he told me with my literal heart, you'll never get out again. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that we serve a risen God. And He came to heal the broken hearts. There is healing in Jesus this morning. But dear ones, I want to say it again. For you and I to be able to get this, we're going to have to get our eyes off of man. We're going to have to get our eyes off of those that have hurt us deeply. We're going to have to get our eyes off of those that are trying to help us. The devil doesn't mind what he uses to distract you and I from getting a hold of the message that God has for us. He doesn't mind causing you and I to focus on those that have hurt us until bitterness sets in and robs us of being able to forgive and receive the blessing and the healing that the Lord has. He also doesn't mind taking and pointing his finger at those that are trying to help us and telling us, what do they know about it? How many times has somebody gone to the altar to pray and somebody come down, humble brother or sister come down to kneel down to pray with them, and the devil be right there to say, what do they know about broken hearts? They've never been through anything like this. What do they know about this situation or that situation? Or look at this in their life or look at that. How can they help me? Dear ones, I want us to get a hold of something this morning. If we want to avail ourselves of what God has, we've got to get our eyes off of man and look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Man can't heal us anyway. Just because that the Lord healed me of a heart attack doesn't mean I can heal you. The most humble brother and sister can take and pray the prayer of faith and the Lord can work. Dear ones, it's not man that does it, it's God that does it. And if you and I want to get a hold of what God has, we're going to have to get our eyes off of man. We're going to have to look into Jesus, the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. He said He came to set the captives free. Are you bound this morning? By pride? By fears? By doubts? By unbelief? By insecurities like we heard last night? Personality complexes, things that have just haunted you all of your life, and this is just the way I am, and I've tried. Are you bound by something this morning? Drugs? Alcohol? Gambling? Or any of the host of things? And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's no limit almost to the things that Satan has designed to capture you, to put chains upon your life and to hinder you from being able to make heaven and to live for God. But Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. Amen. Remember, dear ones, Satan has set, he's laid the foundation. He set everything in order to bring about your destruction and mine. If you wonder in your life sometimes why you inherited all the baggage that you did from your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, why you've got this personality and that, and you've had to deal with this, and I've been in this broken home, or this has happened. Why did all these things happen to me? If it wasn't for this, I could live for God. If you wonder, dear ones, why those things are happening, I want to remind you this morning, Satan's been at it long before you and I were ever born. He has laid the foundation and he set everything in order to bring about your destruction and downfall. And but for the grace and mercy of God, he will accomplish his purpose. But I want you to know, Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears. Dear ones, it doesn't matter how much baggage you've inherited. I'm going to tell you, the power of God is able to deliver you and I from everything that the enemy has set in place. And dear ones, if you and I will avail ourselves of these things that God has for us, it'll thwart every plan that the enemy has, and it'll bring them all to naught. And by the grace and the mercy of God, you and I can make heaven. He said he came to restore sight to the blind. I'm thankful for this morning, dear ones. Have you lost your vision? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God came. Christ came for more than just healing these literal eyes. He can do it. He's done it. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, Christ came to heal and restore our spiritual vision. If you're here this morning and you've lost your vision, you've looked around at all the different things that are going on, you've been here and you've been there, and you've imbibed this spirit and that spirit, and you've compared yourself among yourselves, and to the point to where you don't know who is right or what is truth. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, he said, I came to restore the sight to the blind. I want to tell you, dear ones, God can give you a vision of the church of God in its purity. Mount Zion that is high above all the wages of sin, all the strife and the confusion that's in our world. Oh, the Lord gave me such a beautiful vision of this. And I know I've told some of you before, but I was going to work one day, and it was a cloudy day, and it was misty, and it was foggy, and it was just dreary morning. You know what I'm talking about. No sun out nowhere. And I was driving into work, and when I got to work, as I got there to the building, I looked up. It's a 52-story building that I work in, and as I looked up, the wind currents that create around that building, it kind of held the clouds back, and as I looked up, I could see the top of the building in the sunlight, and I thought, I know exactly where I'm going. I parked, I went in, put my stuff up, and I headed straight to the roof of the building. And when I got up there, and I opened that door, and I walked out on that roof, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it was a totally different picture than anything that I saw before. It was beautiful sunshine, clear, crystal clear, as far as you could see. Not a cloud anywhere in the sky. And I walked over and I looked down over the side of the building, and it looked like cotton all around as far as the eyes could see. Just like it is. You know how it is. You've been in airplanes. And I was looked out there, and it was just pure white. And the only thing I could see was, occasionally, there was a building that happened to be tall enough that just the peak of it, some of them maybe a couple floors, and that's it. Most of the buildings aren't that tall. And they were the only thing that barely stuck above that. And as I looked at that, I saw all of this, and I walked. When I walked over and I looked down, and that where that wind kept that away, and I looked down the side of the building, and I could see down there the cars. They just looked like little old Hot Wheels. And I could see them driving around down there on the street, and I could hear the horns and the sirens and all the confusion and all the noise of the street. And it was dark and dreary. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord spoke to my heart. Mount Zion, the church of God, it's above all confusion. And the Lord gave me a glorious picture of this. This is Mount Zion, dear ones. It's high and lifted up. It's above all that confusion. I look down there and those poor people. I look and they're all down there. They can't see what I'm seeing here this morning. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there was something that happened. There was more than one thing that happened. Well, first thing, you know, I'm not, most of you that know me know I'm not much of a singer. But I'm going to tell you, as I walked around that roof and I looked, there was something that just came out. I couldn't help it. And that song, How Great Thou Art. And it just began to just flow out of my heart. And I just, oh, I tell you, it was such a beautiful thing. Do you know the next thing that happened? Was I began to think, this is so beautiful. I've got to find somebody that I can show this to. And I was thinking, who can I call? At that time, Brother Andy Lewis was working there at work before he moved out to Oregon, Washington. So I went down, I picked up the phone, and I called him. I said, are you busy? He said, well, no, not really. I said, can you meet me on the 50th floor? He said, yeah, I know. He's thinking, what's he doing? He got up there, and I said, I want to show you something. And I took him up there, and I opened that door, and he walked out. You know, Brother Andy, this big old smile and laugh. And he's just like, I've never seen anything like this before. It was something, and it just did something. I'm going to tell you what, dear ones, that's what salvation does. When the Lord gives it to you and you begin to see the beauty of holiness and you begin to see the church of God in its purity, it makes you want to take and tell someone else. It makes you want to share it. You don't want to just see them down there in that confusion. You want to help them to also see it. Those people on the ground had no idea. There's no way they could see what I was seeing from their location. But you know, the Lord showed me something also that just helped me. And I looked out and I saw a few of those buildings out there. Along there. They're out. They're also above. They're part of the church of God. They just don't know where the people of God are. And they can be there, but yet they're seeing the same thing. And they can see Mount Zion and they say, oh, that's where I want to go. Oh, dear ones, I'm going to tell you, if you're here this morning and the enemy has stolen your vision, if when you think of the church of God, all you can think of is this problem and this thing and that thing, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God's got something better for that. He can lift your eyes above all of that confusion and you can get a hold. You can see the glory of the church of God, of Mount Zion, that city that's set on a hill. And you don't look at all that. Yes, those things were down there. You know, the building that I was in, there was a lot of the things down there around. Those people that were below those clouds were seeing the same confusion. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there'll be people right among us that are not seeing the vision that I'm talking to you about this morning. But God has it. And Jesus said, He said, I came to restore sight to the blind. If you lost your vision this morning, I want you to know Christ has something better for you. He said, I came to set at liberty those that are bruised. Dear ones, bruises are a result of falls, of bumps, of being beaten. There's a lot of people in our world today that are bruised. Some from physical abuse. You know, it's hard for me to imagine how people can get to the place to where they can take and abuse those that they love, that God has given to them to be a blessing. I've got my little granddaughter with us this morning. And it's hard for me to fathom that somebody could take a little child, innocent, that has such love, that can just, oh, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how they can do it. You just want to love them. How they could get to the place so they could abuse a poor little child like that. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's lots of bruises in our world today. It's because of sin. When I was down, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't hold her. I'm going to tell you, she was a bright spot in our lives. The Lord sent just what we needed. And as I lay there on that bed, day after day, and they'd bring her over. They'd set her there on the floor, or sometimes if I felt like it, they'd set her on the edge of the bed. She brought such joy, such happiness. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord has provided for you and I blessings that are more than you and I can comprehend. But the thief is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll rob those blessings from us. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there are bruises that are not just from physical abuse. There's bruises sometimes that are deeper and are worse that are because of verbal and mental abuse. There are people that have, they might not put their hand on their child or their companion, but they'll lash out at them. They'll call them and they'll tell them how worthless they are, and they'll do all kinds of things. And like we heard last night, children that have grown up that never know the love of God. There are times that people have had high professions that I love the Lord, and yet they go home and they treat their families in ways that are sometimes worse than physical abuse. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, in the fear of the Lord, it's just as wrong as physical abuse. The Lord will hold us accountable for that verbal, mental abuse just as much as He will for that physical abuse. And there are souls that are hurting today, that are wounded, that are bruised because of the effects of sin in our world. But dear ones, I want you to know, Jesus said, I came to set at liberty those that are bruised. Jesus came to bring salvation for the abuser and for the abused. And dear ones, I'm thankful for that this morning. There is nothing, dear ones, that Christ cannot take through the power of the shed blood of Christ and deliver a soul from. When a person is bruised, they can't respond or react normally. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when people are bruised, it affects all of those around us. If you and I were given a task and we had to take and pick up this pulpit and carry it, and my arm was bruised, I couldn't use it like normal. And so I wouldn't be able to pick up my sight. You know how it is. When you get a bad bruise, you can't pick anything up. You can't even hardly lift your arm. And dear ones, if I were bruised, I couldn't pick up my hand. So that means that you're going to have to pick up the whole load. And if you can't do it, and you can't bear the strain, my hand's going to drag. And that's going to cause everything to be out of sync. It's going to cause all kinds of problems because of that. And dear ones, there's a reason why there are so many dysfunctional people and family in our world today. It's because of sin. The enemy is doing everything he can to bruise, to wound, to leave people in a condition that they're not able to respond. Brother Tony told us last night about these boys that they have no concept of the love of God. They've never had that love in their home, and they don't have any concept of the love of God. Do you wonder, dear ones, why our world is in the condition that it is? Do you wonder why the enemy has worked so hard to bruise people in our world? Not only is our world dysfunctional, our nation, our school systems, our government, every place that you look, you see that there's problems. People also cannot get a hold of the message that Christ came to bring because they're bruised and they don't even know how to respond like they should. But I want you to know, Jesus said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. There's healing in Jesus. It goes on, this song says, there are sins that have blackened both the heart and the name and stricken a mother with sorrow and shame. But there's healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain, and the heart that's been blackened can be made white again. Is it true, when we've fallen into pitfalls of sin, we just always be crippled, never soar high again? No, There's healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain. And the wing that's been broken can be made to soar high again. Dear ones, I want you to know this morning, the message is there is healing in Jesus. There is a balm for each pain. Jesus said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The grace and the mercy of God, dear ones, is available to you and I right here this morning in 2012, just like it was when Christ came and fulfilled this prophecy. But dear ones, the question to you and I is, are we going to avail ourselves of it? Are we going to take and recognize, when you hear the gospel message go forth, as it has gone forth through this meeting, time after time, are we going to avail ourselves of what God has offered? The messages that He sent across this pulpit? Or are we going to take and allow the enemy to do to us what He did to the people in Christ's time? When He spake as never a man spake, and the message was so real and it touched the needs of their heart, and they recognized there's something different here. Are we going to take and do like Zacchaeus? And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to get a hold of this. Are we going to take and we're going to do like the people did here? And are they going to say, is that not Joseph's son? Is that not brother so-and-so? Didn't I hear this or that? Didn't this happen? Are we going to say, well, this is what are they going to think about me? Are we going to allow all these things? These are all tactics, dear ones, of the enemy to keep you and I focused on something different than the message that Christ came to deliver. That today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He came to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to restore sight to the blind, to preach the gospel to those that are lost. Yeah. He came, dear ones, to supply every need that you and I ever need. He came to give you and I power to overcome everything that the enemy has set in place to bring about our destruction and downfall. So that you and I, by the grace and the mercies of God, can be able to soar high above it. He came to take those that sin has wrecked their lives, has brought heartache, remorse, has taken and caused them to feel like there's no hope for me anymore. Jesus came to bring deliverance, to bring hope, to bring peace. He came to bring healing so that you and I can soar high again. Dear ones, my burden and my desire this morning is that we get a hold of the message. Don't look at the message bearer. Don't look at man. Get a hold of the message that Christ was trying to portray to the world. That this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And dear ones, if you'll do that, He has available for you and I everything that we need. He is able to take and restore the years that the canker worm has eaten. The things that the enemy has done, He's able to take and come in and make you whole again. How? Not by man, but by the power of the shed blood of Christ. And I, and all of these ministers and gospel workers that have been laboring in these meetings, are beseeching you. We beg you. We're pleading with you this morning to get a hold of the message that the Lord has been sending. Appreciate your attention this morning.